Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Lamed Beis. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 3 lines from the top of Daf Lamed Beis. The Gemara opens up with a Tanaic source, Ubo, and a posuk from Vayikra Perek Tes Zayin posuk Chof Gimel. Uvo Aharon El Ohu Moed. That's what it says in posuk Gimel. It says, and Aharon will enter. He enters the Oyel Moed, enters the Heichal of the Mishkan. Loma hu ba, why is he entering? Eino ba, elo lahoitzi es hakaf ve'es hamachto. His entrance at that point in Posuk Chof Gimel, he is entering for the purpose of removing the kaf and machto. These are vessels that contained the incense and the coals that he had brought in earlier for the Kodesh Kodoshim Ktores offering. V'chola Parsha Kula, the entire Parsha in Vayikra, in Parshas Achrimos, which features the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, that whole Parsha is, V'chola Parsha Kula Nemro Al HaSeder, everything that's featured there is in fact in order of the events as they were to take place. Chutz mi posuk zeh, with the exception of this posuk, which is posuk Chof Gimel, that technically speaking, that posuk, that which is featured in posuk Chof Dalid, that which is featured at the end of posuk Chof Dalid, should be understood as being before posuk Chof Gimel. So if you have your Chumash open, and we highly recommend learning Maseches Yuma with a Chumash at hand, specifically Perek Tes Zayin in Vayikra, you'll notice in Pasuk Chof Dalid, reference is made at the end of Pasuk Chof Dalid to his to the Kohen Gadol going and doing an Ola. There's his personal Ola and Ola Sa'am. These are sacrifices that were offered in the Azor of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara is telling us that as far as the procedures that were taking place leading up to that which you see in Pasuk Chof Gimel, the procedures before that involved his saying a confession over the Seirim, the Sawyer that was then sent out, the goat that was sent out into the Midbar, and he sent that out, and at that point he is to do the offering of the Ola and the Ola Sa'am. Then following that, he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to take out the Kaf and Machta that he had left there from earlier when he offered the incense in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now, the Gemara continues and says, "My Taima, why are you saying that this Pasuk is out of order? In other words, why are you saying that the Elo and Ela Sa'am, which is that korban that's referred to in Pasuk Chof Dalid, why is it necessary for that to, we'll say, interrupt or be positioned between that which preceded it?" We mentioned he was doing Yom Kippur related activities in the form of the confession over the Sawyer Hamishtaleach. And after doing that, we say he should be doing the these Ola offerings and then going to take out the Kaf and Machta. Why? Why is that necessary? If we look in the Rashi, my time, well, Rashi is a little, almost halfway down the page. My time would sorch lahafsik be'elo ve'elo on bein avodas hayoyim lohitzos kafu machta. Now, avodas hayoyim is a reference to what we mentioned, those couple psukim that you see just before that, when he was involved at that point with doing the blood sprinklings in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and in the Heichal. And then he does the confessional. And by the way, during those activities, he was wearing Bigdei Lavan. He was wearing the white clothing. Now we're saying after those activities, before his entrance back into the Kodesh Hashem, we expect him to do the Elo V'Elam. Now, when he does those sacrifices, the Elu V'Elam, he is going to be wearing the 8 golden clothing, the Big Day Zov, as they're referred to. Following Elu V'Elam, then that which appears in Pasuk Chof Gimel will be fulfilled. Namely, after he does the Elu V'Elam, which is in Pasuk Chof Dalet, he then does that which is said in Pasuk Chof Gimel. As we said, out the psukim are appearing here out of order of what he actually did. So the question is, why? Why is that? Why is it so important to have the Elo V'Eloam, these sacrifices featured in Pasuk Chof Dalet? Why is it so important for them to appear just there between that which he was doing beforehand, which is called Avodas Yom HaKippurim, and the return to the Kodesh HaKodeshim to remove the Kafu Machta? So Omar Rav Chista answers, Gemiri, we have a tradition, Chomesh Tvilos, V'asora Kiddushin, Toivel, Kohen Godol, U'mekadesh Bo Bayom. The Kohen Godol does 5 immersions and 10 sanctifications during Yom Kippur. These sanctifications is a reference to the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim from the Mei Ki, or from the water tank that stood in the Azora. The E Kisidron, if you keep the psukim as they are in their order, in order as they appear, so you know what you're going to find? Lo mishkachas lehu elo shalosh tevilos v'shisha kiddushin. Then we'll be able to account for only 3 tevilos and 6 kiddushin, and not the required 5 tevilos and 10 kiddushin. Because if you keep the order of the psukim as they are, mentioning in Pasuk Chof Gimel that he is entering the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and in order to do so he's wearing the white clothing, well, he was wearing the white clothing prior to that in Psukim Chof Beis, Chof Aleph, and the group of psukim that preceded that. Prior to the Avodas Yom Kippurim, he was doing the Tomid Shel Shachar, where he was wearing the gold vestments, the gold vestments, and then to do the Avodas Yom Kippurim, he would have switched into the four white clothing. That, of course, necessitates an immersion and Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. Then after doing that, if you just keep to the order of the psukim as they appear, he would then change from the white clothing back into the gold clothing for the Oilo and the Olosam, which would be, that would be then his 3rd Tevila. There was the initial Tevila, then going from gold into white, the 2nd Tevila, and then going from the white into the gold for the Elo Ve'Elom that's featured in Pasuk Chof Dalet. Well, that would account for 3 Tevilos, and each Tevila is accompanied by 2 Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayims, 6 of them. Where are you going to account for the necessary 10 Kiddush Yadayims that accompany the 5 Tevilos? So in order to fulfill that, we just said, you switch the order of the psukim. Switch the order means, in practice, you do that which is said in Pasuk Chof Dalet before you do that which is said in Pasuk Chof Gimel. And the result of that is what? Let's go over the whole story. In the morning, he does the Tomid Shel Shachar with the golden clothing. He then, and that required, there was an initial tevila. Then there's a switch into the Big Day Lavan for the basic Yom Kippur activity. And then there is a switch into the gold for the Elu Ve'Elo Om. and then there's a switch back into the Lavan for his entrance into the Kodesh HaKodeshim to take out the Kafu Machta, and then after that there's a switch back into the gold for doing that the rest of the day's activities. Tanya, Omar Rabbi Huda, Minayin lechomesh tfilos vasor kiddushin shetoyv koyin gadol mekadesh bo bayom. From where do we know that there are 5 immersions and 10 sanctifications that the Kohen Gadol does over the course of the day? Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says in Vayikra, Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Chof Gimel, Uvo Aaron El Ol Moed, Uposhet Es Bigdei Habad, Verochatz Besoro B'mayim, B'mokum Kodosh, V'lovash Es B'gadov, V'yotza V'osa. So in this pasuk you see a reference to a change of clothing. We see that he, after he went into the Kodesh HaKodoshim, he then, after that, he will remove his white clothing. He then rochatz, he bathes, and bathes means he immerses in a mikveh, and then he puts on the golden clothing. We see from here that anyone who's changing from one set of activities to another, that necessitates an immersion in a mikvah. By the way, before we get too much further, this source, you can see it's a very long Tanaic source. It will be explained by the Gemara later on, and that you can see at the lower part of the page where there's a second frame section beginning with Omer Buda, that's a quote from that which we just read now. So let's continue in the source. Omar Rebbe, Minayin, Lechomesh Tvilus Vasor Kiddushin, Shetoyv Koyen Gadol, Umekadesh Bo Bayom. From where do we know the 5 and 10? Shinemar, the Pasuk says, Ksoines Bad Kodesh Yilbash, Umichnese Bad Yu'al Besoroi. The Pasuk describes his wearing of a linen tunic and linen pants, uba'avne bad yachkor, uba'nesefetz bad yitznof, and a linen belt and a linen hat, bigdei kodesh heim, v'rochatz b'mayim es besor u'levesham. They are holy clothing, and he immerses himself in the mikveh. Holam adato, we learn from here, shekol ha'meshanam evoda levoda, ta'un tevila. One who switches from one set of activities to another, he must immerse in a mikveh. The Omer, and the Pasuk also indicated, Bigdei Kodesh Heim. They are holy clothing. Hukshu Kolav Godem Kulam Ze Lozeh. All the clothing, namely the set of 8 common or 8 daily Kohen Gadol clothing, and the 4 special linen Yom Kippur clothing, are compared to one another. The Chomesh Avodos Heim. There are 5 sets of activities, and we had mentioned this orally before. Here you'll see it in print. Number 1, Tomid Shel Shachar BeBigdei Zahav, Avodas Hayom BeBigdei Lavan. The Tomid Shel Shachar is while he's wearing his standard 8 golden clothing. The second stage of activities is the Yom Kippur related activities, where he's wearing the 4 white linen clothing. Then third stage, Eilo Ve'Eilo Ha'om BeBigdei Zahav, that we saw was referred to in Pasuk Chof Dalet. And then there's Kafu Machta BeBigdei Lavan, the removal of that which we said was featured in Pasuk Chof Gimel. And Tomid Shelbein Horbayim BeBigdei Zav. And that was the final stage of the day's activities in the form of the Tomid Shelbein Horbayim back again into the 8 golden clothing. Uminayin Shekol Tevila Utvila Tzricha Shnei Kiddushin. From where do we know that each Tevila needs 2 kiddushei yodai raglayim? Talmud Omar, the pasuk says, ufoshat v'rochatz v'rochatz v'lovash. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kal v'chomer. He comes to this conclusion through Kal v'chomer logic. Uma b'mokim she'ein ta'un tvila ta'un kiddush. Mind you, when you're entering the Beis HaMikdash, which is a time that doesn't necessitate tevila, but yet there is the necessity of doing kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. Mokom shetoun tevila, eino din shetoun kiddush. A place where there is an immersion requirement, then all the more so there should be the need for Kiddush Yodayim Raglayim. The Brisa asks, Ima Lahalon Kiddush Echod Afkan Kiddush Echod. If you're learning from the standard need for Kiddush Yodayim Raglayim for a Kohen who's entering the Beis HaMikdash on a daily basis, he has to do a singular Kiddush Yodayim Raglayim. Are you going to say the same thing over here by Yom Kippur and the Tevilos? Tamu Lomar Uvo Aaron Elo Moed Uposhat Es Bigdei Habad Asher Lovash Ma Tamu Lomar Asher Lovash. What does the Pasuk have to say that he says he removes the linen clothing that he had put on? What does Asher Lovash teach me? Klum Odom Poshet Elam Asher Lovash. Is that not obvious? Does a person, isn't it so that a person removes clothing that he had put on? So why does it have to say Asher Lovash? Elo Lehakish Pshita Lelevisha. Rather, we want to compare removal and we to putting on. Ma Levisha Tone Kiddush, just like the putting on necessitates a sanctification, Af Pshita Tone Kiddush. So to removal requires Kiddush. So that when you have a situation of someone removing clothing, one set of clothing, putting on another set of clothing, that will automatically necessitate two Kiddush Yodayim Raglayims. But what we did is we read a long source, and as we said, a number of points of this source will be explained by the Gemara. As we continue in the Gemara, we mentioned this earlier. This is a quote from the beginning of the long source. Amar Bihuda, Minayin Luchomesh Tfilos Vasor Kiddushin Shetoivul Kohen Gadol Mekadesh Bo Bayom. From where do we know that there are 5 immersions and 10 sanctifications that the Kohen Gadol practices on Yom Kippur? Talmud Lomar Uvo Aroin El Ohel Moyed. And the Pasuk went on to say, Ufoshat es bigdei habad asher lovash bevoil ha-kodesh verochas es besor b'mayim b'mokom kodesh. Ha lamadato. From here we learn, shekol ha-mishana me'avoda la-voda to'un tvila. One who's switching from one section of service to another section of service, he needs immersion. Because what do we see in this Pasuk? We saw that he had entered the Oyel Moyed, we understood from this earlier that he went in to remove the Kafu Machta, and it says he then removes his linen clothing, his white clothing, and then the Rochas Es Besoro, it said 2 lines above, he then immerses in a mikveh. So we see that when he's switching from one set of clothing to the next set, he needs an immersion. Well, if you look at this pasuk carefully, Ashkechon mi bigdei lavan lebigdei zav, this source is talking about switching from the white clothing to the golden clothing. Okay, that is what requires immersion. Mi bigdei zav the bigdei lavan minayin. How do we know when it's in the other direction, when he's removing the golden clothing in order to put on the white clothing? And we've got to account for that, because otherwise you're not going to get to the 5 tevilos that take place during the day. So where do we know that from? Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel. We're continuing at the top of Omid Beis. In the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they have the following source. And this should give us the answer. The Gemara, though, is going to challenge this momentarily. The Gemara answers, Kal v'chomer. If you want to know about going from gold to white, that there is the need of a tevila, I can answer that with kavuchoma logic. Uma big day zohav she'ein. Just to review that last point, as far as the psukim are concerned, we saw that when you're going from white to gold, you need this immersion. What about going from the gold to the white? So this we say kavuchomer. Uma big day zohav she'ein kayin nichnas ben lifnei lifnim. Mind you, the gold clothing, which are of a lower nature in this sense, that he doesn't wear them in order to enter the inner sanctum, and yet tone tvila, there a tvila is required. That is what the pasuk said. He's going from his white, poshat bigdei abad, the pasuk said, he's taking off the white, putting on the gold, he has to do a tevilah. So when you're going into a lower form of clothing, you need to do an immersion. Regarding putting on the white clothing which he wears for the inner sanctum, so certainly you should require a tevilah. As you're going up in sanctity, that should certainly be accompanied by a mikveh tevilah. So that would answer the question. Our question had been, how do you know when you're going from gold to white? So that's the answer. If going from the white to the gold, where you're going down a stage, you see a need for a tevilah. Where you're going up a stage, all the more so. The Gemara says, "Ikol mifrach." No, I can challenge this kal vachomer. I can undo it. Ma lebig dezav sheken kaporos and ruba. I understand what the pasuk said. The pasuk said when you're going from gold, from the white to the gold, the gold has an added feature, has an extra reason, a reason for immersion. Because kaporos and meruba, that means the Kohen Gadol would wear the big days of all year round. There were all kinds of korbanos which offer atonement that are processed when he's wearing the golden garments. It may be they have a higher status. So the pasuk says when you're going to the gold, which is kaporos and ruba, so there you need a tevilah. I don't know about going from the gold to the white. Elo nafka le midarebi. That means that Rebbe Yehuda, who we were just focusing on, he, Rebbe Yehuda, will learn going from the gold to the white, that there's a need for tefillah. He'll learn it from where Rebbe learns that. And that is a reference to Pasuk. We made reference to Pasuk Dalid, and that you can see back on Omid Aleph, the source there. Let us take a look at Rashi, who quotes that very briefly. Nafkale Midarebbe on the third line from the top. Ksoines Bad Kodesh Yilbash Verochatz B'mayim Ulevesham. And Rebbe's approach was from the fact that you see that going from that after the white clothing, you saw an immersion in the mikveh. If we turn back for a moment to Omid Aleph, and we look at the Rashi that is appropriate for this pasuk, the lower part of the narrow lines, a Rashi ksoines bad kodesh yilbash verochatz b'mayim hare kishu mishana me'avodas hatomid la'asr b'avodas yom shi pnimis kidichtiv basrei v'lokach eshne asirim v'kulei inyona. So it says that pasuk is a reference to the transition from the avodas tomid to the Avodas Hayom, where he's going from the Avodas Tomid done in gold and starting the Avodas Hayom done in the white. And in that pasuk, you see that it says Verochatz B'mayim, that there's the need for immersion. So that pasuk can serve as the source for Rebbe Yehuda as well, that when you're going from gold to white, you need a mikveh. We continue. Omar Rebbe. This too is a quote from the long source on Amud Aleph. Amar Rebbe, minayin l'chomesh tevilos ve'asora kedushin shetovil kohen gadol u'mekadesh bo bayom. From where do I know the 5 and 10? Rebbe asks. Talmud lomar ksoines bad kodesh yilbash, and it says v'rochatz b'mayim u'levesham ha l'madito shekol ha'meshana me'avoda l'avoda shetoun tevila. And we just saw the Rashi on Omid Aleph mention that this was describing his transition from the Tomid Shel Shachar, where he was wearing the gold clothing, and moving into the white clothing, and a need for a mikveh. And that represents a mishana, a transition me'avoda l'avoda, from one set of activities to another set of activities. Well, Ashkechon mi big days of the big day loven, as far as the posuk is concerned, it proves only going from gold to white. What about the transition of going from the white clothing to the gold? Tana debei Rabbi Shmuel. So we have a Tanaic source that will use Kal v'chomer logic to prove that going from white to gold, you need tevila. And what does it say? Kal v'chomer. Ma bigdei lavon she'ein kaparos meruba. We saw in the pasuk that when you're going into the bigdei lavon, which doesn't, it's not worn throughout the year. It's only on Yom Kippur, so it's not used for a lot of sacrificial activity, as opposed to the gold, which are worn throughout the year for lots of sacrifices. And yet the bigdei lavon, which is described as ein kaparos meruba teuna in tevila, as the pasuk said. Big day zav shem kaparosim ruba ain't odin shetun and filo. When you're going from white to the gold clothing kaparosim ruba, certainly you should require tevila. The Gemara says, well, I can undo that kal v'chomer. Ikol lemifrach ma lebig day lavan. The fact that there's a pasuk that indicates when you're putting on the big day lavan, you need to do a tevila. Shekein nichnas v'en lefnei lefnim. You wear those clothing when you're going to the inner sanctum. So that's why you require a tevila for putting them on. But I don't know about when you're putting on gold clothing, when you're going from the white to the gold, I don't know that you need a tevila. Oh, hainu dekotoni. Therefore, we understand why it goes on to say the continuation. Again, you have a frame section, v'omer, and it says, bigdei kodesh heim, v'rochatz es besoro b'mayim ulevei sham. The pasuk makes reference to they are holy clothing, and holy clothing necessitate a tevila. Rashi on this first narrow line, Hainu dekotoni, b'milso de Rebbe, within Rebbe, we're focusing right now on Rebbe. So within Rebbe, in the source on Amar Avosad, v'omer bigdei kodesh heim v'chi dorash lei. The pasuk is describing the need for the tefillah because you're putting on sanctified clothing. All changes into holy clothing require tunin tefillah. Big day zav gam heim kodesh. The big day zav are also kodesh. So if the question was, how do I know going from white into gold? So this is the answer. The quote continues, V'chomesh avodos hein, there are five avodos. And we pointed out that, Rashi pointed out that this section is a section that applies to Rebbe and Rebbe Yehuda as well. It says in the source there are five sets of avodas: tomet shel shachar bebigdei zahav, avodas hayom bebigdei lavan, elo v'el ha'om bebigdei zahav, kafu machto, the removal of the kafu machto from the kodesh hakodashim bebigdei lavan, tomet shel ben arbayim bebigdei zahav. And we explained all of this earlier. Uminayin shekol tvilo tvilo tzricho shnei kiddushin, and from where do you know that each immersion? And we accounted for five immersions, but that each one requires two sanctifications. Talmud Lomar, Hoshat, Verochatz, Verochatz, Velovash. The word Verochatz doesn't really appear twice in the Pasuk, but it does appear between Hoshat, the removal, and Velovash, and the putting on. The Gemara asks, it's very nice that you're quoting this Pasuk, but our question was concerning the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. Hai b'tevila k'siv. The posuk v'rochatz es besoro is a posuk regarding immersion in a mikvah. It says besoro, indicating his flesh, his body. So how do I know what I am looking for, namely the two kiddushin for each tevila? So the Gemara answers him, Einu inyan l'tevila denafko lei mi bigdei kodesh heim. If the pasuk that talks about a tevila for the dressing in the respective garments, I don't need this pasuk for tevila. That's learned already from the pasuk that said bigdei kodesh heim. Hineu inyan lekiddush. So take this pasuk of Verochatz, of Poshat Verochatz Velovash, and have that refer to kiddush yodayim veraglayim. To appreciate this a bit more, let us learn together the Rashi on Lamed Beis Omed Aleph, underneath the Gemara text, the second wide line. Talmud Lomar Uposhat Verochatz. Here we are focused, Rashi is focusing on this very pasuk, and he says, Hach Milso Rebbe Ko'amar Lo. This part of the source is Rebbe speaking, because just before this, that Rashi had mentioned that Rebbe Yehuda agrees, that's also in his name, the section of the source that spoke about the Chomesh Avodos that we have listed is 1 through 5. However, this last section where it said, this is Rebbe speaking. The Gomar Tevilos, he learns the need for Tevilos from the other Pasuk of Verochatz Bamayim. Dichtiv, that pasuk is pasuk dalid, that's found bebigdei lovon. Ve'aiser le haikra, these psukim which were just quoted of poshat verochatz velovash, those are chof gimel and chof dalid. That's ve'aiser le haikra to Rebbe Yehuda. That is a pasuk that was quoted by Rebbe Yehuda, and we saw that earlier in the source, the long source. And now Rebbe Vidorish Law the Kiddushin. Rebbe takes that pasuk and applies it to Kiddushin. Uposhat Verochatz Verochatz Lovash. And as we mentioned in the Psukim, the word Verochatz doesn't appear twice. It rather it appears between Uposhat Velovash. Hitil Akosu Verochatz Bain Uposhat Velovash. The Torah places the word Verochatz between the two actions of removal and the wearing. Litain rechitza lepshita rechitza levisha, to say that there's a rechitza for the removal of clothing and the rechitza for the wear, putting on. And here rechitza means kiddush yodayim v'raglayim. So I see that whenever there's a change of clothing, there is two kiddush yodayim v'raglayims. The Gemara continues, where we are here on Omid Beis in the middle. V'lichteve rachmona b'loshen kiddush, instead of using the word v'rochatz, which implies full body immersion in a mikveh, why not use the word kiddush to refer to what we're actually talking about? Use the right word for the right thing. Why the word v'rochatz? Ha komash malon, the point of using the unusual word v'rochatz in reference to kiddush is to tell me the following: the tevila kiddush, that immersion in the mikveh is like the kiddush. Ma kiddush mokum kodesh, kodesh, just like the kiddush, which was done from the kior, from the water tank that sat in the azora of the Beis Hamikdash. So that was clearly in the mokum kodesh, in a holy place. Af tevila the mokum kodesh. So too the mikveh immersion must be in a place which has the kedusha of the azora. The Rebbe Yehuda kiddush minole, Rebbe Yehuda, who used this posuk of Rebbe for tevila, where does Rebbe Yehuda learn kiddush from? Answer: nafko le mid Rebbe Lozer Rebbe Shimon. Take advantage of the star that you see that leads you back to Omid Aleph, and you can see at the lower part of Omid Aleph there's a star which indicates Omid Beis, and that at that point in the Gemara we had Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon telling us about kiddush, the need for two kiddush yodayim raglayims for every change of clothing. So you can look back, and that's where the Tana Rebbe Yehuda will learn the two kiddushim from as well. As we go on in the Gemara, you'll notice we have a marking. It's actually a diamond, but it's split between two lines. So on the side we have our Nosei Mivneh heading. Machloikas Amoroyim, we will see an Amoraic controversy. Mahi Shitas Rebbe Beinyan Seder HaKiddush Pshita Ulavisha. We're going to look into Shitas Rebbe regarding the order of events when dealing with the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, the removal and the dressing in the Big Day Kahuna. The white changes from the white to the gold, and from the gold to the white. Where do the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim fit in? We have a very, very useful chart that accompanies this that we've entitled Rav Chisda. We're going to investigate right now Shitas Rebbe, bearing in mind that we've already dealt with Shitas Rebbe Meir and the Rabbonan. We dealt with that in our previous shiur. And we pointed out that as far as Rebbe Meir and the Rabbonan are concerned, the Kiddush Sheni, given that every stage when there's a tefillah, there's a Kiddush that precedes the tefillah and a Kiddush that appears after the tefillah. So the Kiddush Sheni, as far as Rebbe Meir and the Rabbonan were concerned, you can see this on the chart, there is agreement that he, for doing the Kiddush Sheni, he first has put on the new set of clothing and then does the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. Their machlokas was with regard to the Kiddush Rishon. What we're going to be interested right now in seeing, where does Rebbe fit into the scheme of things? So we've highlighted Rav Chisda and later Rav Acha Bar Yankov on this issue. Shitas Rebbe. Omar Rav Chisda, Ha de Rebbe, Mafko mi de Rebbe Meir, Umafko mi de Rabbonan. Shitas Rebbe is different. Literally, it's exclusionary of Rebbe Meir's approach and of the Rabbonan's approach. Now, if you take, even before we learn the Gemara, if you take a quick look at the chart, the order that Rebbe has regarding this matter, just reading the column of under Rebbe, you have Poshat Kidesh, Kidesh Lovash. You've got the Kiddushim in the middle. And we can say then at as far as at all stages regarding Rebbe, the Kohen Gadol is unclothed when doing the Kiddush. And in that respect, he is not like the Rabbanan, nor is he like Rebbe Meir. As far as the Kiddush Rishon is concerned, he is similar to Rebbe Meir, but he is unlike the Rabbanan. With regard to his approach to the Kiddush Sheni, he is unlike both Rebbe Meir and the Rabbanan. So we continue in the Gemara. Mafko mid Rabbanan. Rebbe is to the exclusion or contrast with the Rabbanan, the Ilu Rabbanan Amri. According to the Rabbanan, they hold Kishu Lavush Mekadesh. According to the Rabbanan, whenever Kiddush takes place, you'll notice the Kohen Gadol is clothed. The Ihu Omar Kishu Poshet Mekadesh. Rebbe, as you can see from the chart, Rebbe has him unclothed at each Kiddush. Umafko mid Rebbe Meir, Shitas Rebbe is unlike that of Rebbe Meir, the Rebbe Meir, Omar, Hach Kiddush Basra, Kishu Lovush Mekadesh. The second stage of Kiddush is done when he's clothed. The Ihu Rebbe, Omar, Kishu Poshet Mekadesh. He's unclothed for that second Kiddush. Maybe we should have mentioned, but better late than never, we were working with the assumption that Rebbe has the Kiddushin between the Poshat and Lovash. Maybe it was obvious to all of you, but we, according to Rav Chisda, in the source that we had just a few lines of the last frame source, you saw Rebbe quoted the Pasuk, Uposhat v'rochatz, v'rochatz v'lovash, where the positioning of the rochatz, which he took to mean as the Kiddush, was positioned between the Poshat and the Lovash, making it such that the Kiddushin took place between those clothing actions. So he comes to the conclusion, according to Rebbe, he is unclothed when the Kiddushin, both Kiddushin, are taking place. Let's continue in the Gemara. Omar Rav Acho Bar Yankiv, Hakol Moidim, means even Rebbe, Bekiddush Sheni Shelovesh V'acharkach Mekadesh. So as far as Kiddush Sheni is concerned, Rebbe will agree. He first puts on the clothing, his new change of clothing, and then does the Kiddush. My time, well, what's the basis for that? Yomakro, the Pasuk says, O Begishtom El HaMizbeach. From the Gishta means they draw unto the altar, and we say that this is fulfilled. Misha'enu mechusir ala Gisha, one will accomplish this. What the pasuk requires is someone that, from the point that he's clothed, is missing nothing other than approach. Misha'enu mechusir ala Gisha yotzeh. To the exclusion of someone who would be shemechusur levisha v'gisha. If you were, for example, to have him do the kiddush yodayim and then lovash, so before he draws to the mizbeach, he would first have to then be putting on the clothing. Let us look at Shmos Perek Lamed, Psukim Yutes and Chof, to appreciate that which we just said a little bit more. You see, on the side of the Gemara, we've included these Psukim. The Psukim are in the context of the making of the Kior, and it says, V'rochatzu Aron uvon v'imenu, esidem v'sraglayim, they shall wash their hands and feet from the Kior, and that's the Kidu Shadayim v'raglayim, b'voyim el oil moed, yuchatzu mayim v'lo yimusu, when they enter the oil moed, the Beis HaMikdosh, they shall do this and avoid dying. O begishtom el hamizbeach l'shoris lahaktir yishel Hashem, or upon drawing near to the mizbeach for offering sacrifices. So what the pasuk is describing is, after the kiddush, he immediately goes to the mizbeach. That can be accomplished only if he put on whatever he put on his Big Day Kodesh beforehand and then did the Kiddush. So he's got to be in a situation where, following the Kiddush, he goes immediately to the Mizbeach. And that will be only if Rebbe will agree with Rebbe Meir and the Rabbanan regarding the Kiddush Sheni. We continue in the Gemara. Amalei Rav Acha Brei de Rava le Rav Ashi. Lo Rav Chista Isle de Rav Acha, Velo Rav Acha Isle de Rav Chista. Let's go over this. Rav Chista will not hold by Rav Acha. Now, according to Rav Acha, Rebbe requires Kiddush without anything interrupting it and his Avoda. We just saw Rav Acha Bar Yankov's point that immediately following the Kiddush, there's nothing else. There's no putting on of clothing, because there's got to be Obegishtam El Mizbeach, we said. So, according to Rav Acha, Kiddush has to be right, has to be somach to the Avoda. So, Rav Chista won't hold from that. Velo Rav Acha Islay de Rav Chista. Rav Acha won't hold by Rav Chista. According to Rav Chista, the two Kiddushin are done when he is unclothed. So, as far as Rav Chista is concerned, let's focus on Rav Chista for right now. There are two Kiddushin when he's unclothed. If Rav Chista were to hold by Rav Acha, then what would happen? He would, after he does his two Kiddushin, unclothed, he then would put on clothing, and at that point, he would need to do Kiddush, because between the Kiddush and Avoda, there shall be nothing interrupting. If that's the case, then there are three Kiddushim Yordaim Raglayim that just took place for this one change of clothing. And that's what the Gemara says, the Im Kain. If it were so that Rav Chista would hold by Rav Acha and vice versa. If it would be that way, then Larebi Havule Chamesar Kiddushin, there would be 15 Kiddushin over the course of the day, and not just 10, which is the number that's required. We continue with a quote from the Mishnah, Heviu lo es hatomid, kortsoi, umerek acher shchita al yodo. The Gemara, the Mishnah mentioned that the Kohen Gadol slaughters the korban tomid shel shachar, and that the word that was used for slaughtering was kortso. The Gemara asks, my kortso. What does that word mean? Amar ula, lishna de kavlu, it's a loshon, it's an expression indicating killing, or in our case, slaughtering. Amar of Nachmar Yitzchak, my craw. What pasuk illustrates that? Eglo yefeifio mitzrayim keretz mitzafon bo vo. The pasuk in Yirmiyahu describes Mitzrayim being overrun by a murderous enemy coming from the north. So you see in this pasuk keretz, which is what we were looking for. My mashma. Well, how are we to know that that's what the pasuk is saying? Answer, Kinemetargem Rav Yosef. As Rav Yosef, who was known as an expert in presenting Aramaic explanations of Psukim, he says regarding this Pasuk, Malka Yoi Hava Mitzrayim, Mitzrayim was a pleasant kingdom, Amamin Ketoilin Mitzifoino Yaisin Allah, but murderous nations from the north will descend upon it, upon Mitzrayim. Kortsoi Bekamo, when the Mishnah speaks about the Kohen Gadol doing the Shechita but not quite finishing it off. So how much did he slaughter? And when we speak about slaughtering, we know that there is a necessity of cutting the two tubes that run in the neck of the animal, the esophagus and the trachea. So how much was cut? Omar Ula, Beroiv Shnayim, the majority of the diameter of each one of the tubes. By cutting the majority, you've done the minimum requirement for a kosher shechita. V'cheinom Rabbi Yochanan b'roiv shnayim. Rabbi Yochanan agrees that the slaughtering that the Kohen Gadol did on that Tomid Shel Shachar was the majority of the two. V'af Reish Lakish sovar b'roiv shnayim. Reish Lakish concedes as well that that's the amount that he had done, that the Kohen Gadol had done. D'yomar Reish Lakish. Now a point will be made, and you'll notice that we have a long point marking taking you to the second line from the top of Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. And from this whole long point, we're supposed to see that Reish Lakish acknowledges that the Kohen Gadol's Shechita of the Tomid Shel Shachar was a Shechita of Roiv Shnayim. The Omer Reish Lakish, the Chimeachash Shonino, once we have learned a Mishnah that says Rubo Shel Echod Kamohu, that the majority of one tube is like the whole tube. Rashi adds here, V'chimeachar Shishaninu, B'shchitas Chulin, Shchitas Chulin is the reference to Maseches Chulin. It says, V'rubo shel echod kamohu, M'meilo shaminon roiv shnayim kishnayim. So from that, I understand that the majority of two tubes is considered as if you cut the entire two tubes. So, being that the Tanaic source says Rubo Shel Echad Kamo Lomo Shoninu, why is there another Tanaic source that says Roiv Echad Ba'oif V'Roiv Shnayim B'Vehema? Why is it necessary to spell out, in effect, that which I could have figured out on my own? So Reish Lakish answers. He explains Lafi Shoninu, because there is our Mishnah here in Yuma, Heviu loy esatomid, kotsoi umerak achir shchital yodoi, v'kibel esadam, v'zorkoi, yochol lo merak yehei posel. Could it be that if it wasn't merak? Merak means finished off. The Mishnah describes the Kohen Gadol as starting the Shechita of the Tomid Shel Shachar and someone else coming along and finishing it off. So and let us say someone did not come along to finish it off. Would what the Kohen Gadol have done be considered pasul? So, this lashon of Yehei Yochel Yehei Pasul, if you skip the bracketed section, what the Mishnah is asking is Yochel Yehei Pasul midrabbanan. Would there be a rabbinic lacking if it's not finished off? So the Gemara continues to the top of Omid of Lemagimo Lakach Shaninu. Therefore, in order to dispel the idea that it might be posel midrabbanan, to dispel that idea, Lakach Shaninu, therefore, the extra Mishnah in Chulin says Roiv Echod Ba'oif, Roiv Shnayim Bevehema, that all that's necessary is the majority. And the Kohen Gadol, he does the majority. And this, as we say, this extra Mishnah comes to tell me there isn't even a psul midrabbanan. It's totally all right to do the majority. It's lechatchila okay. The chimei achar dafilu psul midrabbanan leko lomalim lemerak. If there isn't even a psul midrabbanan, so why is there any need for the other fellow to come in and finish off the shechita? The Gemara answers mitzvah lemarek. It's the best way to do it, to finish it off. And Rashi adds, "Kidei lahoitzi es hadam yofa," to get out the blood in the best way. So when the tubes are completely open, so you'll have a maximum type of blood flow as well. Now we skipped a little section here. Let's go back to the bottom of. Lamed Beis. We have to go over the bracketed section, but before that, just to recount the forest and not get lost for the trees, Reish Lakish had explained that the kartso of our Mishnah, the shechita of the Kohen Gadol of the Tamid Shel Shachar of Yom Kippur, was a shechita of Roiv Shnayim. Can we now agree that is what Reish Lakish is holding? That as a result of, we said, the seeming superfluous Mishnah in Chulin, it was there to tell us that when you shecht Roiv Shnayim of a korban, of any shechita for that matter, and here we're focusing on our Mishnah of the shechita of the Tamid Shel Shachar and Yom Kippur, the Roiv Shnayim that the Kohen Gadol did, that is enough. It's enough even to fulfill rabbinic requirements. Now, we said we skipped the little bracketed section, so let's go over that. The Gemara had been quoting our Mishnah that said, "Heviu lo es hatomid, kartso merak achar shchita al yodo v'kibel es adam v'zorkoi." So the Mishnah had asked, "Yochol lo merak yei posel," if it were so that the finishing off were not done, would the tomid be unfit? So the Gemara asks, what kind of question is that? That if he wouldn't finish it off, it would possibly be unfit. And in other words, you would need the second kohen to make it kosher, and without which that which the Kohen Gadol did would not be sufficient. That couldn't even be. Yochol lo merak yeposel im kain. If that would have been the case, havya le avoido bi'acher, then you have part of the Yom Kippur day's activities being done by someone else. V'tanyan, we know, kol avodos Yom Kippur einon k'sher selabo, that when it comes to Yom Kippur, all of the day's activities must be done only by the Kohen Gadol. So there couldn't be a possibility of, if the shechita wasn't completely finished off, that it would be posel, hence showing that I need to have the other fellow. That couldn't be. So what was the question of the Mishnah when it said Yochol lo merak yei posel? So hachi ko'amar, what was meant by that question is Yochol yei posel midrabbanan. Could it be posel on a rabbinic level if it's not finished off? And Rashi adds, like, what would be the what would have been the psul de rabbanan? What would have been the rabbinic lacking? Rashi says, "Hoyil b'chol atzmo l'dam utzorich." Since the whole purpose of the shechit is to get the blood, so maybe it's possible if you don't finish it off, and if you don't finish it off, be possible mid rabbanan. The chitnan rubo shelachot kamohu, and that which the Mishnah says regarding the rove is good enough. Well, that's bechulin tnan. That would apply to non-sacrificial slaughterings where there's no need for the blood, but where you need to get the blood. So maybe on a rabbinic level, I have to do a complete severance of the two organs, the trachea and the sabin. So at the end of this discussion, we said no. Even on a rabbinic level, there's no need. There's no expectation for finishing it off. So then why is it finished off? So we explained already, that's because that's the best way to do it, but not to suggest that if you don't do it, there's some kind of rabbinic rejection or disqualification. That's not the case. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.